Welcome back to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. Climber Bean Bowers of Ridgeway was a guy you remembered. He could be gruff and didn't mince words. Bowers was known for finding new routes up tall peaks in the harsh Patagonia region of South America. He often wrote about his experiences in publications like Alpinist magazine. Although he had several close calls in the mountains, it was cancer that ended his life. He was 37. Friends and family held a memorial service for Bowers in Ridgeway last week. Alan Oram was one of his close friends.
I met him rock climbing. He was with his girlfriend, and I was just at the cliff in the Gallatin Canyon in Montana. When I met Bean, he was just this, you know, stocky little guy who climbed like a madman.
Was Bean his given name?
No, Bean was not his given name. Bean was an acquired name. They wanted to name him after Bean's dad, which was a family tradition, and his real name is Edwin Charles Bowers IV. No one could figure out that they could call Bean Edwin, so for the first year of his life, they called him the baby. and at one year, a year and a half, there was a babysitter involved, and the babysitter was tossing Bean around in the air, and she said, "Oh, he's just like a beanbag." And that evolved to Beanie. As Bean grew up, he started playing soccer, and he would run up and down the field, and his dad would show up at the soccer games and yell, "Go, Beanie, go, Beanie." And Bean just had enough of that, and he said, "Hey, man, no more Beanie. Just call it Bean." And so at 10, he acquired Bean.
Bean. I love the evolution.
And that was it.
Well, as we said, Bean Bowers was known for his first ascents in Patagonia. Is that an area you've climbed?
I have not. I never was able to have been fortunate enough to go down there by myself or with Bean.
And so you must have loved to hear his stories coming back.
Yeah, I mean, the region is impressive, and the mountaineering history and heritage of Patagonia is wild. The weather sucks. You know, you can go down there for 30 or 40 days and get one route done because you have one good day of weather. Wow. And so there's a lot of sitting and hanging, and Bean was notorious for just doing the hang. I mean, some of the impressions that I got from him were some of the stories that he would tell and then write about. A lot of the stories he published because he was an amazing writer as well as an alpinist. One of the stories he told me that was just impressive and an example of who Bean was. He was going skiing from Chaltan to where people would base their climbs for Fitzroy.
This is an 11,000-foot peak.
Oh, yeah. And there's two ways you can go. One was across the lake, and one was around the lake. It just took a little longer. So Bean skied across the lake, full pack, on skis by himself, and he broke through the ice in the middle of a lake. He got out of his pack, kept his skis on, got back up, crawled out of the hole. He was able to get his pack. You know, crawled up onto the ice again, and rather than just call it, he just kept going. He put his pack back on, soaking wet, and then he busted through the ice again. This time, though, he lost his ski, kept his pack again, and again, he got back out, and rather than going back, he kept going, one ski and one boot. He still completed the climb, which to me was just... I mean, I think any one of us would have just called it and just gone home.
But right. Bean, I mean, I'm thinking that some people hear that and think the guy was crazy not to have turned back.
You know, maybe, but he was a committed guy. And I mean, he was so motivated as a human being, and he was always direction oriented. I wouldn't call him reckless. I wouldn't call him unsafe. He was actually quite the opposite, but he was very committed to what his goals were.
Were there times when he did not reach a peak, maybe in Patagonia, maybe elsewhere?
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. Part of climbing is not summiting and not completing your climbs. I mean, that's part of the whole game.
And how did he take that?
Well, I think Bean was so cautious that he would look at the picture, the big picture, and just go, "Today's not the day. You know, we're going to pull it." In Jackson, a few years ago, we were going to ski the Grand. You know, early start, weather was questionable, but we decided to give it a go anyway. We skied up. The conditions were super hard pack, not safe, super sketchy.
And let me just say, we're talking about the Grand Tetons here, right?
The Grand Tetons, yes.
Yeah. So really sketchy weather, and?
And the conditions were bulletproof snow. There's no way it was going to be safe. We just looked at each other and said, you know, today's not the day, Bean. And we just called it. We skied down, and it was horrific skiing all the way back to the valley. It's like, that's just the way it goes. You know, some days you get her, some days you don't. And that's fine, because he'd come home. The guy had, you know, 9 lives, and he used every one of them in his climbing career.
You talk about him having 9 lives. What was like a really close call?
Well, there, I mean, there was a story about the lake. That was, I'm going to give that one 3 of 9. And then the other one that, I mean, that he wrote about as well, he and two other guys, Josh Wharton and Johnny Kopp, who were both, Johnny died in an avalanche a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But all three of them were you know, amazing alpinists, are. And they went to do a route on Torre Eger, which is in the same range.
In Patagonia.
In Patagonia, yeah. At hour 36, he was literally 2 meters from the summit. He had spent 3 hours on one pitch, or 200 feet of climbing, 2 meters from the top, through a mushroom of snow, and all of a sudden, he pops, and he takes the biggest whipper in his life, and he fell about 100 feet, landed in a thud in a pile of snow, and he was awake, he was moving everything, and the story goes that he looked up at the boys and started laughing. He was a badass, and that exemplified how he took on life. He fell, he got hammered, they didn't go to the summit, but you know what, he was successful, and he came home that day. To me, that was a successful climb.
Did most people who met him like him?
That's a hard question. I think some people saw him as a very abrasive, rough guy, but I've also seen him meet people, and they absolutely just love him from the get-go.
What would strike people as abrasive about him?
He'd call bullshit on bullshit, you know? I mean, if he thought somebody was pulling his leg or just, like, selling him a line, he would just call it. A lot of people just can't accept that honesty. Some people just, you know, they couldn't tolerate Bean. And I could see sometimes when it's like, man, chill out, dude. And other times he was the most pleasant, positive, compassionate guy I've ever met.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and we are remembering the highly skilled climber Bean Bowers with a longtime friend of his, Alan Oram. I wonder if there's a memory of Bean you've been going over and over in your head.
I guess the memory that just sticks out in my mind now is seeing him at the last part of his life. And that image is just etched in my mind. You know, the last time I saw Bean, it was his house in Ridgeway.
And what were the circumstances? Did you go to visit?
Yeah, I went to visit. You know, he was not doing well. And, you know, I was down there for something, and I was able to go, you know, go to Ridgeway to visit with him. And some other friends were going to be there too. So we all could help Helen. And he had just gotten out of the hospital and left Denver. It was his first trip back home to Ridgeway since he had first gone down there to Denver in February or March or something for chemotherapy. He was, you know, initially looking pretty good. He could get up and walk, and over the course of that day, he just got much worse. And the image of seeing Bean go from a phenomenal athlete to somebody who's dying was just, is pretty brutal. You know, and the image that I walked away with was that was probably the last time I was going to see Bean. And it was.
And how long after that did he die?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. How did he learn he had cancer?
In December, he was skiing outside of Telluride, and he broke his femur while skiing, and his friends were able to get him out of the mountains safely. He ended up going to Montrose for surgery, called me the next day and told me what happened. And I thought, you know, Bean will get over this. He went home about 5-6 days later. And then a few days, I talked to him a couple times. And a few days later, he apparently developed an incredible headache, which led to Helen actually calling an ambulance. And he went back to Montrose, and they found that he had a mass in his brain.
And we should say that Helen is his wife.
Correct.
And this wound up being a tumor.
Yep. It was a tumor, and he ended up having to go to Grand Junction. The long and short of it was that they found cancer in a number of parts of his body.
Bean was at your wedding, is that right?
Bean was what's called, I learned, was the officiant of my wedding. It's kind of a funny story. When I asked him to do it, he needed to get some kind of a, I'm not sure it's called a license, but he had to have some document that said he was able to do this.
Right.
He got online, he found this website that you can buy a thing that gave you the ability to be an officiant. And so he calls me up and he goes, "Yo, dude, should I get the $19.99 one or the $29.99 one?" I go, "Well, what's the difference?" He said, "Well, the $29.99 one, I can be whatever I want." You know, and I'm like, "Well, that's the one you want to get then." And then he can create his own church, his own religion, his own whatever, and that's the one that he got.
Did he? What did he create?
I forget. It was something ridiculous, but it was Bean. It wasn't anybody else's scene. It was his scene.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us. I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you. It's not easy, and it's been pretty painful in a lot of ways.
Alan Oram was a close friend of climber Bean Bowers. Bowers, who lived in Ridgeway, died of cancer earlier this summer. He was 37.